Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. I do want to thank you for joining us today. We've got a very interesting show. Now, later in the episode, I'm going to talk about the impact of Iran, Israel, what's going on with the Federal Reserve, what's happening in real estate. But first, we have something very, very special for you. We're in the midst of travel season. Everyone wants to save big, especially with these tariffs. You know what? The big thing is save big, travel far, smart ways to explore for less. We have Trey Botch here. She's going to help you do just that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Trey. She's an accomplished BIPOC lifestyle journalist, broadcast commentator who specializes in smart shopping, money saving for over a decade. She's appeared over 1,000 times, including Good Morning America, NBC News, Today Show, Inside Edition, network affiliate nationally. She was named the 5 Black Financial Influencers to Follow in 2024 by NerdWallet, one of the 10 Best Savvy Shopping Bloggers of 2024 by CardRate, Top Voice in Retail by LinkedIn, a top personal finance expert, say Go Banking Rate and FlexJob. Her writing and expert commentary has appeared in Forbes, Times, MarketWatch, MSN, US News, Kiplinger, Yahoo, numerous other places. Now, one of the things we're also going to talk about today is Trey is the co-founder of Threadneedle Alley Foundations, a 501c3, provides grants and mentorship to entrepreneurs in midlife facing financial crisis. You really want to check this out because you might be able to help out some special people. So with that, Trey, thank you for being with us today. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, same here. But you know what? We have a few hundred people that said, you know what? How did Trey get started? What started your passion for the journalism, especially with the shopping and travel and saving money and things like that?
Sure. So it's a bit of a circuitous route. I used to own a makeup company with two partners, and I've always been frugal. And at a certain point in the life of our business, I just felt like I had hit a wall and I wanted to do something different. I felt like I could do more. And I just sort of fell into creating content around budget-friendly living. And I started freelancing for a variety of publications. And then I was freelancing for RetailMeNot, the coupon site. And then it turned out they were looking for a spokesperson. And I was offered that job, which was great for about 3.5 years. And then they had a big layoff. And then I thought, I think I can do this myself. And so I've been on my own since 2015, just sort of spreading the word about how people can save money in their on their day-to-day purchases and for long-term saving as well.
Well, that's wonderful. So we're talking about travel today. Travel's a big thing, but it's a little scary when people start hearing about tariffs, how things are going up all over the place. So let's start with, if you're looking to travel, what would be the first best step if you're looking to find the lowest cost or the best deals when it comes to travel?
So I have a couple of tips here. So first of all, if you're flexible, that's a great benefit because then you can compare flights, accommodations, exchange rates, and just make a very educated decision about where you're going to go. That's typically what my family and I like to do, because that way you can say, oh, well, Iceland is much more expensive than Madrid right now. So let's do Madrid. And so that's an approach that we often take. And then I would also say, if you have loyalty programs that you belong to, make sure to look at those, because that this is where travel companies can offer a lot of flexibility. They can be very generous with their loyalty programs. And so here's an example. So with Hyatt, they're working with Under Canvas, which are those amazing glamping destinations that are outside of national parks. And they have a program running right now where you can earn World of Hyatt points, plus you can earn American Airlines points if you're an American Airlines car holder. So Look for deals like that where you can kind of stack and pile on loyalty points, and then you can use all those points that you've gathered for your next adventure. So either be flexible or look for those generous loyalty options. And those are the two recommendations that I would take, the two roads I would take when I'm planning a trip.
That's wonderful. I also know some of those credit cards, especially Hyatt, offers if you just sign up and make one purchase, they'll give you 70, 80,000 points right up front.
And that's a great point. If you have a healthy relationship with your credit cards and you do tend to travel and you like to, say, go to Hyatt hotels, or you like to fly with a certain airline, like a travel credit card can be a really good way to earn lots of points towards free travel.
So let's talk a little bit where what are some other ways people can save on airline flights? They're all looking for the tips of the trick here.
Yeah, so it's something that I like to do with flights is I like to, again, if I have some flexibility, that's amazing. I have a daughter who has a spring break, for example, so there's no flexibility there. But then we often take a trip in early September because her school starts late, and so we have some flexibility on the dates. And that's my favorite way to book travel, because then you can use a travel aggregator like Google Flights, for example, and you can look online, like if we leave Saturday versus Monday, how does that work? How does the rate change? And you can watch it in real time and get a sense of when your trip should be. And you can save hundreds of dollars by doing this, especially if you're traveling with multiple people. So that's always my approach with flights.
So you talked about travel aggregators. So other than Google, are there other travel aggregators that people can see or
Yeah,
look at?
absolutely. You can use a travel aggregator like Hopper. You could also go through an Orbitz or an Expedia, use TripAdvisor. So there are lots of different platforms that you can use, and it just depends on which one speaks to you, if you like the way they work versus a different one. There's no real right way to do it. I just like to find the site that is easy for me to use, and I understand the way it works, and then I'm going to use it more regularly.
Well, I actually agree with that because I do the same thing. It's just that there's like three of them that I don't ever want to use because they're too hard.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying there. That's why I'm glad you said the other ones. That's great.
Yeah. And I think it really comes down to are you going to use it or not? And I think, a lot of people are intimidated by sort of the crazy couponing approach to saving money, whether it's travel or at the grocery store. If it's too hard, it just becomes a barrier. And if that's in your personality and you love to cut coupons and put them in a folder and watch the expiration dates and stock up in a big shelf in your basement, I think that's amazing, but I don't have the time or the patience for that. So I'm always trying to find what are the easiest ways? How can I use tech to save on my trips? And I find that I do really well just by using a few of these tactics.
No, that's wonderful. Okay, so that's using the travel aggregator. So let's talk a little bit about hotels. What's the best way to save on hotels? Is there anything that you know that might be special? Many people are like, hey, does she know this?
Yeah, I mean, I think with hotels, loyalty is your friend. Again, if you like a certain hotel chain, if you like Hyatt or Marriott, it's good to be loyal because you're earning those points towards free stays. That's something I always like. You can often get free upgrades. That's something else I like. And then I would also sign up for their emails, because if they're having a special, you'll receive an email about it, and then you can say, "Hey, that actually lines up with a vacation that we wanted to take. Let's take advantage of that." Another trick that I like to use are using my credit cards. So, for example, those emails that you might be ignoring that you're receiving from your credit card carrier who says, "We have this partnership with such and such hotel chain, and they're having a special deal if you pay for that trip with that particular credit card." That's another good way to save. And then utilize your membership. So, for example, if you're a member of AARP, AARP members get lots of travel benefits just with that $20 annual membership. And so that's another way to save on travel. And then if you're open to staying in a vacation rental property like a VRBO or an Airbnb, that's another angle to look at. So, hotels are great and they have certain advantages, but I also like vacation rental properties because, for example, if you're driving a car, the parking is often free. With a hotel, it's not. They often have more rooms. And so you're traveling with your family rather than being packed into one room, maybe you have three rooms and maybe there's two bathrooms, maybe there's a kitchen that you can use, and so you're not eating out every meal. So a vacation rental property for me is the way that my family and I like to go, because we find that it not only helps us save money, but it's also just more comfortable to stay in an apartment or home versus a hotel sometimes.
Yes, you know what? We actually did the same thing when we traveled in Europe 2 weeks before the Olympics. So when we were staying in Paris, we stayed in an Airbnb, and it was walking distance from everywhere, less expensive, less hassles, and we controlled our own food, which is great, Paris.
I do understand that sometimes when people travel, they like to have, the concierge there, and they like to have certain things taken care of. They like the fact that the cleaning service comes and clean and changes their sheets. And so it really depends on how you like to travel, but I just prefer to kind of move in somewhere and make it our home for the week. And you have to read the reviews on those, and it's a little bit more of a wild card versus if you have a favorite hotel chain, you know what the service is going to be like, you know what the room's going to look like, what the artwork's going to be, what the breakfast. But with a vacation rental, sometimes you don't know. But my husband and I usually kind of divide up the research, and we'll read reviews and get a sense of the place. And we've done really well. We've stayed in some really fabulous places, and it's always cheaper.
I totally agree with that. Now, one of the big things that's happened here throughout the country is road tripping. When things get a little bit more expensive, people aren't jumping on flights to go to Europe. They like to go road trips. So let's talk about, your thoughts on the best way to start or go about road tripping.
Yeah, so I think road trips are a great way to have a fun adventure with your family or friends on a budget. If you're looking at flights and it's really looking out of your budget, a road trip is great. And something that we forget is that we live in a big, beautiful country. There are so many wonderful places to explore here, all our national parks and monuments and museums. So don't think that you're sacrificing anything by taking a road trip. And it's a great way to do that on a budget. So a couple things here. When you're traveling, you just want to make sure, of course, that you're trying to save on gas as much as possible. So my suggestion for saving on gas is just don't stop at the first gas station you see if you need to fill up. Use an app like Gas Buddy, for example, or AAA, and see where the better gas prices are. Join a gas loyalty program. Most of gas station chains have loyalty programs, and you can either save on the price per gallon or you can earn points towards free gas. So that's a good option. And then thirdly, my other favorite way to save on road trips is on food. Because if you go to a gas station, you're going to be paying a premium for that food. Instead, if you're going on, say, a couple day road trip, go to the grocery store, get a soft cooler with some ice packs, and buy food that you keep in your car with you. It's a great way to save on food versus paying that high price at the gas station.
Yeah, I agree with that because you could pay three times the cost of a six pack for buying just one soda.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, if you're thinking about a road trip, there are certain cities that are safer than others. Apparently, there's a new poll from Allstate that they found that there are a couple cities that are a little bit more dangerous, especially anything in the DMV, the Washington, D.C. area, and Boston are both sort of marked as dangerous cities to drive in
Did you
because
call them the
drivers are
DMD, the
the
DMZ?
DMV. Yeah, they call it the DMV, which is like the Washington, Baltimore area. So it's a little tricky to drive there. Boston, the same. I grew up in Massachusetts, so I can attest to that for sure. But then on the safe side, we've got areas like the Pacific Northwest and Texas. This is where drivers are friendlier, kinder, safer. So that's something to think about if you're going on a road trip as well. And then, sort of along those lines, with your car insurance, make sure that your car insurance has good behavior discounts. Allstate does, and some others do as well. And if you're a safe driver, you can save on your car insurance, which I love.
Well, that's wonderful. So let's keep talking about road tripping. There's a ton of national parks, and the experience at a national park with a family is far different because you can just kind of go park and do your thing. When registering or reserving going into national parks, what's the best way to go about doing that?
So if you're just planning to go and visit the park and you're just driving through or going for a hike, you generally don't have to apply in advance. If you're in high season, like we are going into the summer, it might be good to just go to the website to see if they recommend registering in advance. But I think in most cases, you don't have to. However, if you are going to be camping, you definitely want to reserve a spot in advance, especially during this high season. And with camping, you're often able to reserve certain spots. And so maybe you want one that overlooks the water or that's close to something really beautiful. So registering in advance for camping is really good for a couple of reasons, that you reserve your spot and then you can reserve a spot that you like.
Oh, that's wonderful. So, you know what? Let's now, you know what? Some people pack up. I call it the proverbial minivan. Back in the day, it was a station wagon. Now it's the SUV. But also, people are looking at RVing. Is there like, you know, how long in advance should you be registering or reserving and things like that?
Well, here we are going into high season. It's always good to get a jump on these things, you know. However, there are a lot of RV rental places out there, so I don't think you're really in danger of, you know, not being able to get an RV. Just be mindful of who's going to be driving that RV. Does that driver have experience driving a large vehicle? I have driven an RV myself, a smaller one, and it's not that easy. So just be mindful of that. Who's going to be doing the driving? If there are a couple drivers, if you can trade off. And then compare prices online. You know, use your travel aggregators like an Expedia, Orbitz, what have you, to make sure that you're getting a good deal. See if maybe there's a, you know, one that offers a free driver, a free second driver, then versus one that doesn't. That's a good one to think of. And if we're talking about RVs, you know, the tips that we talked about, saving on gas, crucial. There's RVs go through gas like water. It's really important to use those savings tactics when you're buying gas for your RV.
Now, if you're looking to do RV tip, I'm just going to add this in there because it's important. Because what people don't realize is, you know, that RV require you to learn how to maneuver something that big, a little bit different than a car. So it's really important that you take the time to get some schooling there before you go on your trip, especially if you're going to take an RV. But RVs can be awesome.
I completely agree. I also love RVs too because you can go to the grocery store, you can stock up your fridge, you're not eating out all the time. You know, eating out on vacation really adds up if you're feeding multiple people. So the RV travel, utilizing that fridge, you know, bringing a travel grill with you or cooking on the stovetop in the RV, that's a great way to save money on your road trip.
Folks, you want to stick with us? We're going to be right back with more Jay Bodge here on Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. But today we're talking about how to save money on travel. And you know what? I have Trey Bodge. We want to talk a little bit about experiences, because when you're traveling, it's all about the experience with your family, what you're doing at the time. And you know what? Sometimes you spend the whole day traveling and seeing stuff, and it seems like it went like a minute. And that's because you're having an experience and you remember that. It's almost like a your own gift shop of memories that you can remember for years and years and years. So we're going to talk about that experience here. So Trey, I'm going to let you lead it off there and start that discussion.
Sure. So, you know, we were talking earlier about themed vacations. You know, that's a really fun approach to take if you're group that you're traveling with, if you have a common interest, you talked about Renaissance fairs, things like that. Some people love to hike. Some people love museums. Some people love theater. So it's really fun to kind of take an idea and run with it and explore the different opportunities where you happen to be going, especially on a road trip. If you're going from city to city, and you have maybe, or you love ghost tours, like so many places have things like that. So that's fun to kind of chase the theme a little bit. And then other people really like to have more instruction. Maybe there are different tour companies, obviously, that you can reserve a trip with, and they'll take you from place to place. And that is a fun way to travel if you like to kind of just be a guest and not, leading the pack necessarily. There are ways to save on excursions and tours. A couple of my favorite resources would be Groupon or Viator. These sites have multiple, excursions or experiences that you can reserve. And it just even sort of rifling through the site a little bit could inspire you and give you some ideas. Maybe you didn't think that there was a, an Italian food tour that you could take throughout the Pacific Northwest or something like that. Like there are lots of fun options that you may not have thought of. And so travel aggregators like that could help guide you and then also help you book your trip as well. Something that I will say when it comes to booking excursions, though, if you are open to kind of cobbling together your own plan, what I've often found is that, you can go to a Groupon or a Viator, Expedia, Orbitz, what have you, to get a sense of what's available. But then sometimes if you go directly to the tour operator's website and you reserve directly with them, you can save money by doing that. So I think the aggregators are great and a good way to get inspiration and maybe some guidance, but then always compare the prices directly at the destination or for the excursion to see if you could save a bit. And that's something that my family and I have done. We've saved quite a bit just by going directly to the provider once we've done our research.
Actually, I agree with that because when we were in England, we went to multiple different tours, but we went to the provider. But when we were here in the States trying to look at everything, we actually saved like, I want to call it a 30, £40 per person. So we're looking at close to $170 just for the difference in the cost for the four of us to go on one of these tours, which is really something else. The other thing is, if you're trying to figure out what's right for you, maybe use something like Groupon for seeing if an experience is something you want to continue with.
That's a great entry point. I love that idea. There's another site too that I would recommend called Uncommon Goods. They support small businesses and small makers and craftspeople, but they also have experiences on their site, which is something that I feel like a lot of people don't know about. They have classes like virtual wine tasting, cheese tasting, beer making, crocheting, things like that. And so that's another fun way to kind of dip in and try something new with low commitment. And then, of course, maybe if you love it, you go on a wine tasting tour like you suggested.
Yeah, everybody loves low commitment.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know what? Let's talk about other ways that people can start looking into experiences. So,
First of all, I think that there are so many experiences out there and it's so vast. So I do like to go again to those travel aggregators to get a sense of what's out there. Something else I like to do is I like to look at travel blogs. If I'm interested in, for example, going to Barcelona, I'll look for, say 4 days in Barcelona, I'll Google that and see what pops up. And inevitably, you're going to find countless blogs about what we would do for 4 days in Barcelona. And through reading those blogs, you can find out about all sorts of cool activities that you can do in that city and surrounding cities, even that might inspire your next trip. So travel blogs for me are a great resource. Whether I'm undecided about where I want to go or if we've landed on a place, in either case, I like to read travel blogs about those places. And then, I'm inspired to take this great adventure, and I have all these wonderful ideas. My husband and I kind of like to throw ideas into a Google Doc that we share. And then when we arrive, we have this whole kind of big itinerary that we've both found. And usually there's tons of overlap because we have similar interests. It's like, oh, yeah, you want to go to that museum and that wine tasting and that food tour. But that's a fun way to do some research too, so you're not doing all the digging yourself. And then I would also say, it's something that I just recently discovered. We were planning a trip to Mexico City, my husband, my daughter, and I. And I heard someone say, have you ever tried AI for travel or planning an itinerary? And I was like, what are you talking about? I use AI for research, all sorts of things for my work, but I never tried to plan a trip using AI. Let me tell you something, you can do it. You can just enter into AI, 4-day itinerary for, two adults and an 18-year-old kid who loves, new wave music, whatever it is, and you literally will get an amazing itinerary. We use that as the bones of our itinerary for our Mexico City trip, and then threw in other things that we had seen on travel blogs and other travel sites, and we had the most spectacular time. And so AI is a really good place to start, as just as a skeleton of your trip, but AI is pulling information from the whole internet, right? And now it's very, very current. So that's a great way to do research too, that takes some of the labor away for you.
We went to Nashville for my wife and daughter's birthday at the end of May. We used AI to plan the whole thing, and it asked for interests and things like that. And then they also told us about all the little cool places that people go and see. So I agree, go check out the AI thing, have it get you the bones, research things. Sometimes you can even find some really inexpensive tickets because of AI.
Oh,
But yeah, AI is awesome.
it is. I'm so glad that you used it the same way we did. I mean, I literally fell into it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. It's amazing.
Hey folks, you want to stick with us? We'll be right back with more Trade Bodge.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. I want to truly thank you and appreciate you for sharing it with your friends and family and associates. Again, all the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. And if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. They're all dedicated to empowering you to live a life, solve problems of financial and personal freedom. I hope you're having a good day. And you know what? I've got Trey Bodge here. We're going to be talking a little bit about our Thread Needle Alley Foundation. It's a 501c3 that provides grants and mentorship to entrepreneurs in midlife facing financial crisis. So Trey, could you tell us a little bit what inspired you to start this foundation? I know it's new, it's only about a month and a half old, but I think what you're doing is wonderful. So if you could share that with everybody, that'd be great.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to have a chance to talk about it because it's so new. So Threadneedle Alley Foundation was founded, as you said, very, very recently. It was born out of a conversation I had with my husband. My mom had passed away in 2023, and she was such an inspiring person. She was a lifelong entrepreneur and a real force with everything that she took on. And when she passed away, she had worked her whole life to put together a little nest egg for me, her only daughter. And so we started thinking, we want to do some good with some of this money. What can we do? And I've always been looking for a project I wanted to give back in some way, something that I really felt passionately about. So I felt like this was really the perfect time to marry, my mom, my mom and her legacy and carry that forward. I started talking to some other family members. So now there are three co-founders. We are all personally committed to giving money every year to our foundation. And sort of my mom is like the fourth donor. And so every year we're going to be giving three $5,000 grants to entrepreneurs, specifically entrepreneurs in midlife who are facing financial challenges. And we've chosen the midlife space because, you know, this is a space we know and understand really well. I'm myself in midlife. I think that midlife is a magical time. It's a time of transition. You know, if we have kids, they're going off to college. Maybe we're aging out of our career. Maybe we've been staying at home with our kids and we want to start something new. And we also have decades of experience behind us. So I think this is a really incredible and powerful cohort that is often overlooked. And so what we really want to do is we're driving newsletter signups and bringing people into the fold to then when we open up grant applications in the fall, we want to encourage all of the people who kind of fit into that midlife space to send us information about their businesses. We will have a specific form and application that people can fill out. We want to hear from everybody. And we have a board of directors of 9 people. We also have 26 at this point mentors who will be available and accessible to our grant winners to provide guidance throughout the year once they've been given their financial grant. And in addition, we are already posting inspirational messages on our Threadneedle Alley org on Instagram. And so you can go visit that and sign up. And then our website is threadneedlealley.org, and you can learn about everything that we have going on. You know, we are funded by the co-founders. However, we are also raising money. We are raising money so we can give more grants, bigger grants, and sort of the next goal of ours is to launch a podcast to offer advice and tips for aspiring or current entrepreneurs of any size, starting with interviews with our board and with our mentors. We have a lot of amazing stories to share. And something interesting about everyone involved is that everyone is an entrepreneur. Everyone is 40 years old or older. So we are all walking the walk within Threadneedle Alley Foundation.
That's wonderful. So help me you know, give me an example of somebody that would be a mentor. What's their background like?
Yeah. So all of our mentors are entrepreneurs. They have 1, 2, 3 or more businesses under their belt. And we have mentors from who are in PR, who are in branding, who are in graphic design, who have their own shops and businesses. And so we come to the table with a lot of expertise. We have people who have experience in nonprofits. So if you're looking to form your own nonprofit, we have people who have specialties in that regard as well. Marketing, I mean, basically anything you might encounter as a business owner, finance, we have 2 CFPs on our board. So we have a lot of the badass people who are going to be offering incredible advice, and they'll be giving, each winner will have a chief mentor who will meet with them every single month on a virtual Zoom to help offer guidance and then make connections to the other bench of mentors who we have. And you'll be able to reach out to our mentors as well. So we're super, super excited to open those grant applications, choose our first 3 winners. And then my hope is that we'll just be offering bigger and more grants throughout the years and partnering with other groups who are interested in offering grants and having a grant under their name, for example. So I like to think big and I feel really excited about this. I think this is going to be awesome. And so I'm just super passionate about it, as you can see.
Just a little bit. I think it's really, really cool that you have a chief mentor. And then as somebody needs the extra help, they can get guidance and mentorship from others that have that expertise, because everybody starts somewhere, and then whatever is needed, they can keep adding on to it. All they've got to do the work and study and expose themselves to that information, which is wonderful.
Thank you. I'm so glad you like it. I like the fact that they'll have that one person to go to, and we're going to pair the winners with someone who aligns with what maybe their goals are or the challenges that they're having. So it'll be a really strong pairing. And then that mentor will make other introductions, say, oh, you need to talk to our other mentor who's a graphic designer to help you with branding, or let me introduce you to so-and-so who can help you with PR, things like that. So We're really, really excited about our endeavor.
I had this discussion with my wife a long time ago, and I said, honey, you ran the National Charity League. You had to organize, you had to create things, you had to do all this stuff. You actually created a podcast for heart health. You actually organized these military baby showers, and you could do these things. You could be an entrepreneur. And the reality is each and every mom has learned how to manage their house, their family, and all that kind of stuff. So I just want to say to all those moms that might be going, hey, this might not be for me, you know, what is your passion? Is it crafts? Is it this? Is it that? You know, would that be some type of person the foundation would be looking for?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we are looking for people who have their idea fleshed out, that they've registered their business in their state. We will have criteria like that to make sure that they're kind of like, you know, at least just up and running, that they hopefully have some social media presence. They're going a little bit. They don't have to be big. They don't have to be well established, but we want the ball to be rolling a little bit so we can then pick that up and help them with those areas that they're finding challenging. You know, maybe it's finance or PR, marketing, branding. You know, there are so many things to think about as a business. And it's been interesting for me. I've never started a nonprofit before. I've started businesses before, but this is a whole new learning experience for me, which has been really informative because now I'm like, okay, I'm starting from scratch. I'm building this from nothing. Like, this is the experience that our entrepreneurs have recently gone through. And so I think this is like a really special group, like you said, you know, when you're talking about your wife and all the experience that she has, like she has the experience to start and run a business. And so I want to inspire people in midlife who are kind of feeling like, where, you know, where's my purpose? My children are gone. And, you know, what do I do now? And I'm just so excited about this group, this age of people who just have so much experience under their belts.
Y'all have the skills. It's just, what is your passion now? What would you like to see? What's the next step? You don't have to go work for somebody. You can go work for yourself. And you know what? The reality is that's what your foundation does is the opportunity that you provide. More importantly, you provide the opportunity of knowledge and experience that could be passed down. And I think that's wonderful.
Thank you so much. We're super excited and it's, I'm very, you know, I've run my own businesses for a long time. And so this for me is like, this is the next step to where I want to lend my passions. And I feel like a lot of people are intimidated by starting their own business or they encounter those kind of barriers and they don't know how to get over them. And I realize, oh my gosh, I know so many people who have created their own businesses who could help and help sort of get over those barriers and send someone on their way. So we're really excited. I mean, we're going to be doing this every year. And again, like I said, I mean, I'm really hoping to grow bigger grants, more grants, and just keep going and maybe even broaden to younger people as well. You know, we're starting in midlife. This is something that we feel really strongly about, but I do think that younger people need a hand as well. And so that's kind of like my next goal is to go for younger people and helping them too. But that's probably a couple years down the road.
No, that's great. Okay. So next step, if somebody would like to donate to the Threadneedle Alley Foundation, how do they go about doing that?
Sure. So that you go to threadneedlealley.org. We have a donate page and it talks all about what we would use the money for. We are a 501c3. All donations are tax deductible. We are connected with Give Lively, which is our donation platform. So when you donate, you very quickly get a thank you letter that you can use for tax purposes. So we welcome fundraising. If you are an entrepreneur, we recommend signing up for our newsletter so you'll be in the loop when we do open our grant applications. And then I would also say follow our Instagram as well, because we're posting all sorts of great advice from our mentors and our board members. And there's a donate button on Instagram as well. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to support what we're doing.
That's wonderful. Trey, I want to thank you for being here. And by the way, how can people get connected with your Instagram if they want to learn about travel trips, shopping things, the whole shot?
Sure. So I'm at True Trey on Instagram. I'm sharing tips several days a week about all the things like we talked about with travel, but everything from grocery to when to buy an appliance to what are we expecting from tariffs, all sorts of things like that. And then I also have my website at truetrey.com where I post all of my TV segments, lots of blog content. I also have guest writers who write for me as well, especially in travel. So there's lots of content to be found in both places.
That's wonderful. Trey, thanks for being with us today. Everybody, this is Trey Bodge. She's done, I just am so grateful for what you're doing, not only for the charity, but helping people save money on travel, shopping, the whole shot. So thanks again for being with us. And folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. You know what? We just had Trey Bodge on the show, and she was talking about her foundation, how you can save money on travel, road trips, the whole shot. What a wonderful boost of information. You do want to check out our Instagram. You do want to check out that foundation, the Threadneedle Alley Foundation. But you know what? Now I'd like just to talk to you a little bit about what's going on in the world today. Just in the last couple of weeks, we found out the Fed's going to continue to hold interest rates steady. And the reality is the market won't appreciate that. The dollar, even after they did that, continues to slide, and it could have serious implications ahead. The geopolitical landscape is intensifying. We have a desperate Iran. They can be very dangerous. Oil's on the rise. This signals possible trouble ahead. If things were about to calm down dramatically, oil will be falling, not rising to new heights. Something to keep an eye out. We're seeing the S&P stay steady, primarily due to the resilience of big tech. However, if you overlap the equated weighted S&P on top of that picture, it doesn't look quite rosy. We're still lower than we were last year from where the S&P is. Put simply, the markets are signaling danger more than peace. Obviously, this is a fluid situation that can change at any point. However, right now, things appear to be heading in the wrong way from a risk perspective. Let's talk about the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve, you know, they kept rates unchanged. And according to their polling, they expect to do that from a 5 out of 7 Federal Reserve officials throughout the end of the next year. You might ask why. Well, first of all, see, the Federal Reserve understands as these tariffs go through, the potential for inflation is exponential. So what does the Fed do? They have to sit and wait. See, they have to figure out how much actually tariffs go through. How is it going to affect things? Who is it going to affect? And right now, you just heard the United States and China, they have a verbal truce where China is going to lower tariffs on, you know, specific minerals. And the U.S. is going to allow people from China to go to school here in the United States. Big whoop. We also have the European Union and Japan saying, hold on, we're not going to make a quick deal. Okay? So the reality is we need to lower interest rates, but the Fed cannot. And then we have the 10-year Treasury. The reality is the 10-year Treasury has to come down. See, so many people think it's all about the 2-year Treasury. You think, well, if Mr. Powell were to drop rates, everything would be okay. And the reality is no. If you go back to November of last year, when the Federal Reserve dropped interest rates by 1%, and you think the 10-year Treasury go down, no, it went up. Got to remember, the Fed controls the 2-year Treasury. not the 10-year treasury. Everything you do in your life, whether you finance a car, buy a house, getting a mortgage, credit cards, many investments are based off a 10-year treasury. There's two things that affect the 10-year treasury. That's market conditions and economic conditions. So think about what has to be solved before the particular indicator starts to drop. And right now, we're kind of stuck between 4.35 and 4.5. Some people think it'll get to 5. If it does, you better watch out. Things are happening, okay? The reality here is this. There's wonderful opportunities right now for you to make small, simple adjustments to your strategy to improve your financial well-being. What an opportunity, okay? And the other question you want to ask yourself with all the stuff that's going on, exactly what is giving you the warm and fuzzies that all this will revolve itself very quickly? Again, it's a small adjustment to your strategy so you can avoid possible chaos and disruption in your current lifestyle. Let's next talk about mortgage rates. Mortgage rates have dropped a little bit yet, but homebuyers are sitting still. According to Mortgage Bankers Association, demand for purchase loans actually have surged 10% last week and up from 20% from this time last year. Even refinance applications, and you probably want to go, why? Well, because in some markets, inventory is loosening up just enough to give buyers more option. And when that happens, people act, rates or no rates. Another interesting stat, consumer sentiment about buying homes just hit an all-time high point since last fall, according to Fannie Mae. And again, I want to spend a special shout out to Glenn Henderson at Premier Homes for providing this information about what's going on with mortgages. Think about this. Only 26% of Americans say it's a good time to buy a home. But that's up from 14% a year ago. The shift doesn't mean the market is suddenly easy. But it does mean this. If you're in a position to buy, you see the right opportunity. Now might be the moment to take it. Because if rates do come down later this year, and the data is trending that way, demand will only get more competitive, which means you'll see prices rise. Right now, you're seeing prices small. You're seeing people drop out of properties or offers and so on. So it's very important you take a look at that. You could have a wonderful buying opportunity right now. And you might finance now, but you might come back and finance in 6 or 7 months when interest rates have gone down significantly where it makes sense to refinance. So think about those things. Again, folks, this is about making small, simple, intelligent adjustments to your strategy for your own financial well-being. Folks, I do want to thank you all for joining us today right here on Saving with Steve. You know what? Trey Bodge, it was wonderful, great tips, great foundation. Folks, we'll look forward to seeing you next time right here on Saving with Steve. With that, I wish you all well. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.